We're turning to the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel at the chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esdron, and Esdron begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa. And Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias. And Ozias begat Jonathan, and Jonathan begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiudud, and Abiudud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eliezer, and Eliezer begat Matham, and Matham begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon, Babylon, unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then did Joseph, being raised from the sleep, from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval and blessing this reading from his own most holy word. On Sunday night I was pointing out to the young people at our youth rally of how we should read and study the Bible. And I was unveiling to them a secret that came to my heart during the previous week about Bible reading. You know, you can read the Bible and not get the blessing out of it that you ought to get, and not get the instruction out of it that you ought to get, and not get the spiritual value and power and sanctification of the Spirit that you ought to get. Yeah. And alas, we live in a day when not many people relish and love the blessed Word of God. Now, some of this is because some people have never really learned to read and study the Bible. And I was praying about that for our young people, for I covet the young people of this congregation to know and love the Word of God. And I thought for a while, and then I said, surely there must be something that opens every chapter in the Scriptures. And I thought for some time, and as I thought, I realized that every chapter of the Bible is first of all a window. A window through which we look, and which brings to us the great truths unveiled in that particular portion of God's Word. But the Bible chapters are more than a window. They are a door. God doesn't only call us when we come to read the Bible to have a look through the window. God calls us to enter in through the door. And that the things of this Bible are to be handled by us. We're to examine them. And we're to be taught by the Spirit of God what they are and what they mean. Now you just look at this first chapter of Matthew. And look at it as a window. And first of all, you need to count how many people you see through the window. That'll give you something to do. And then you've got to see how many people had the same name as someone else. And why did God choose those with the same name to be in this chapter? And then you have to find out what those names mean. Every Bible name has a meaning. And we'll never understand the Bible until we understand the meaning of the names of the people in the Bible. So if you start like that, you'll need plenty of time to read the Scriptures and plenty of time to meditate upon them. Now, of course, when you look into this window, you not only see all these people, but you see them in their places of being the parents of various people. This is a family chapter, and it deals with the blessing of God and the begetting of a family. And you will also notice that there are certain women mentioned in this chapter. And every one of the women that are mentioned in the chapter has a question mark at their morality and at their purity. But one. You just look at these women that are mentioned. Take, for instance, we find that the first woman mentioned is a woman called Tamar. She wasn't a good woman. She fell into adultery with her father-in-law. She wasn't a good woman. And then we come down a little farther and we read about Rahab. Rahab wasn't a good woman. She was a harlot. And then we come down a little farther to Ruth. And Ruth, of course, was a heathen woman. A woman of the tribe of Moab, on which God set his seal of a curse. And then we come to her that had been the wife of Urias, verse 6. Who was she? She was the woman that fell into adultery with King David. All sinners. All vile sinners. All sinners that had a dark patch upon them and upon their offspring. But there was one that wasn't so. And you'll notice the contrast. Now, I haven't time tonight to keep you standing at the window. I want you to go to the door and open up the door and see what you'll see more clearly as you step in through the door. And the first thing you'll discover, that this chapter is not merely a chapter, it is a book. It's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Notice it doesn't say Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Jacob, and the son of Isaac, and the son of Abraham. No, there's only two men mentioned here. Who was David? He was a man after God's own heart. Of course he fell, but he was forgiven and cleansed. We all fall. We all need the forgiveness of God. Who was Abraham? He was the friend of God. So we are introduced to David and to Abraham. Why those two men? Well, when you go in through the door and you look at all the others, you'll remember the distinction of those two men. And you'll notice how they're described as with the word son in their title. And Christ was what to David? He was the son of David. Christ was what to Abraham? He was the son of Abraham. What does that mean? That he had the same birth characteristics as David had and as Abraham had. And he was more than the friend of God, like Abraham. He was the son of God. And he was more than David the king, as he's described a little farther down the chapter, for he was the King of kings and Lord of lords. So we have this wonderful view of the Lord Jesus. And this book is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now please notice, when you come to verse 18, the way of begatting is changed. Before verse 18, all the word about births are linked with the begatting of them by the human father. But when we come to verse 18, there is nothing at all said about Joseph begatting Jesus, for he didn't. But it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. That's why the first thing we see when we go through the door, it's a book of the generation of Jesus Christ. He wasn't generated the way we were generated. He was generated by the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Look at verse 18. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. The book of generation. But it's not only the book of generation, it is also, we discover, the book of history. And in this chapter, you will find that we have a certain breaking up of dates. Look at verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. 3 14. Now you do something. You go back to the Old Testament and count the generations in line with this chapter. And when you count them, you will be amazed that you can't find these 3 14 generations. You just try it when you go home. You'll not find them. That means that there's something deeper in this than you can see in the surface. So you have to get through the door and you have to take out your pick, your axe and shovel, and you have to start digging and digging and digging. I once had to deliver a theological paper on this first chapter of Matthew. And I thought I was a smart aleck. And of course I started to talk about these 14 things and what they meant. And one of the learned professors looked at me and he said, "Paisley, can you count?" I said, "Of course we can." "Well, you can't find me these 3 14. Just try it. Because they're hidden. There's a secret here. 14, of course, is double perfection. Poor sinful eyes can't even see perfection. They can't see double perfection, except they're illuminated by the Spirit of God. I'm sorry I haven't time tonight to go further into this. Perhaps I have sown a seed. And if you can find me these 3 14s, you're going to be a mighty man indeed. I'll have to send to Bob Jones and tell them we have one of the mightiest men in the world in our congregation. He has solved the problem of the 14s of Matthew. The book of generation is also the book of history. The book of history. And it is also the book of mystery. Why is it that God in his great mercy brought Christ into the human family in a succession of begettings among some very evil people indeed? You get all the sinners in the first verses. Even Manasseh, who was one of the vilest sinners in the whole of the Old Testament. Why is that? Because Christ is a leader in the book of generation to bring about regeneration in the hearts of men. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The only characteristic that you need to get saved is to be a sinner. So it is a book of mysteries. But it is also a book of destinies. You will have an interesting time looking at the destinies of all these people. Where they were born. How they started their lives. And then how they lived their lives. The sins that they committed. The pardon that they found. And then were brought up to Christ. And Christ opens here to us his book. And it's the book of deity. For he is God. And there is none else. And you will notice that as far as the naming of all these other people are concerned, there's no arguments or any historical notes about their meaning of their name. But when we come to look at Christ, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we learn here the great truth that this book of generations is a book of the incarnation of Christ as well as his generation. And it is a book of the salvation of Jesus Christ. He was called Jesus. And you will notice that Joseph obeyed the word of God. And he called his name, verse 25, Jesus. He obeyed what God told him. So as we open the door, we learn more of the book, that it's the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. It's the book of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And it's the book of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Every chapter in this book has a window. You should look in through the window and write down what you see as you look through the window. And then you need to step forward with a step of faith. You need to make that chapter not only a window that you see through, but a door that you go through. And then you touch the very heart and truth of the chapter. Isn't this a great book God has given us? We don't read it enough. We don't respect it enough. You know, in my house at home, I was never allowed to place any other book on the top of the Bible. My father taught me that is God's book. And he used to say, it's not for keeping old photographs in. A woman handed me a book one day when I had no Bible with me, and it was a picture album. And she had all the photos of all her generation. She had even her wedding photograph in the Bible. That's not what the Bible's for. The Bible is God's book, and every chapter has a window. May God help us to look in. But may God help us to go through the door and find the sweetness of the gospel. You get take a chapter when you go home tonight and look through the window and say, Lord, open this chapter to me, and he'll do it. Go through the door, and you'll go through the door, and you'll find the pearl of great price. Because in every chapter of the Bible, there is Christ. There is Christ. There is Christ. Oh, that I might know where I could find him. You'll find him in his own book, in which he has revealed himself. May God bless this little word to all our hearts for his great name's sake.